trained on the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's been quite a break for CMIB, and that's because I have been trying to figure out what I actually want to do. And I don't want to spend all my time talking about that. So I didn't want to like come back and give updates that have no meaning. I just wanted to move on. So today I want to talk about some large companies and their apologies. And it's because I found a whole bunch of companies very recently have been apologizing. It's because they seem to have lost the connection between either what their initial mission statement might have been and or their users, their customer base, the people who actually use their products. I've never been a big Apple fan, so this is the one that kicked it off, is where I noticed all the stories came out about Apple had made a video, this commercial, and the commercial was all these artistic items. It was guitars and paint and cameras and all this stuff, and it was in a giant crusher, and it slowly crushed it, and the paint splashed, and the guitar snapped, and the lenses, the cameras all shot out, and then it crushes it all down into this very flat thing, and then it lifts up again, and you get the new iPad, and it's trying to say, we've taken all this creativity and crushed it down into this pad. It's just a very horrible message when what you're actually doing is just crushing all these creative things that people love. Paint, cameras, musical instruments. Why are you destroying them and crushing them into it? So the message was heavy-handed, I think is the most generous way to put it. I've never been a big fan of Apple. I've never bought an Apple product. I actually initially, 20 whatever years ago, did try to buy, I think, the first iPod. And when I went to buy it, the salesperson said, you have to buy battery insurance. And I said, what? And he said, you have to buy battery insurance. He basically wouldn't sell me the iPod without this insurance in case the battery died and or exploded. And then I could get it replaced, I guess, within a year. And I said, well, why would I need that? It's a battery. You can just replace it. And he's like, well, no, you can't. Apple's made it so you can't just pull out the battery and put in a new one, or it's not that easy. And then I went, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get the Sony player. It was a little MP3 player. It was better in many ways. It was smaller. It was more compact. It was like credit card size, but it was a bit thick. I don't remember how many songs it put on it. The only downside to the Sony one was that anything you put on had to be converted to ATRAC, which was their proprietary listening format for audio files. And I don't like proprietary anything. And I don't like proprietary anything because then it becomes very hard to find stuff. You lose stuff. And this is what Apple is banking on, is once you get into their ecosystem, you're stuck in their ecosystem. And that's what people, they kind of, after they've invested so much money, now you have the sunk cost fallacy. I've put money into an iPad, an iPhone, a MacBook, all these other things. Now, if I try to get out of that system, all that money's wasted is the feeling. I mean, you still get your use out of it, but then it's hard to break out of that ecosystem because they all connect together very well. It was also, I found out later, that the iPod didn't connect to a Windows computer very well. You had to get your new Apple computer. So I just basically, at that point, gave up on the whole Apple concept and moved on to just Windows and other stuff. I went to Linux for a while. I don't think anyone cares what operating system I'm using. I don't know how nerdy my audience is. I need a little bit of feedback. Like, would you be interested in hearing about operating systems? Would you just want to stick to the philosophical ideas? Do you just want to hear me burp for 20 minutes? I say that because I just burped. People who love Apple, they're very annoying about it. But I don't actually judge them for that, because people who love like Android phones, they're very annoying about it. People who love Unix or Linux, they're very annoying about it. People who love their things are very annoying about the things they love as they try to push it onto other people. So I find anyone who invests their personality into a company is a bit annoying. I used to think I was excluded from that group, that I was not influenced by media or advertising or anything. And I realized in a way I'm not, but in a way I am. Because when I came to Japan, I used to wear all kind of Adidas sports clothes. And then I noticed over a couple of years, a lot of my peers in judo were all guys wearing Under Armour. And then unconsciously, I slowly shift all my purchases from Adidas to Under Armour. So I have Under Armour pants on right now, an Under Armour t-shirt. I probably got an Under Armour jacket in the back. So I am influenced, but not by advertising, but by my peer group, the people who I kind of want to fit in with, want to be, which is very natural, which is probably the best kind of advertising. So this iPad, sales have dropped 17% in the last year. So they're in a lot of trouble with the iPad. So this coming out with a new one was a big thing, and they really wanted it to go well. So they crushed all the artistic things and said, look, we've put all these artistic things into our new iPad. And everyone was like, what the fuck did you just do? Like, really, what did you just do? This doesn't make any sense. Then, of course, they had to issue an apology. So here's the actual apology from Apple. The main point is the saying, oh, we missed the mark. Creativity is in our DNA at Apple, and it's incredibly important to us to design products that empower creatives all over the world. Our goal is to always celebrate the myriad of ways users express themselves and bring their ideas to life through iPad. We missed the mark with this video, and we're sorry. And I kind of don't think that's enough. Only because this is a billion-dollar company, probably trillions, whatever, I don't know. And they probably hire advertising companies to make these ads for them, and they pay them millions of dollars. And at any point, this was actually a comment I had with Mr. Warmhands just before I started recording this, at any point, they could have just called up me and said, hey, would it be a good idea to pile all these creative things into a pile, like guitars and music and paints and stuff, and then crush them with a giant crusher and then have it reveal the new iPad? And I would have been gone, nah, that doesn't seem right, man. That's maybe not the best idea you've ever had. And I guess they're going for something disruptive and creative, and that's what these companies are supposed to do. But at the same time, you should know who you're trying to sell to. And if you crush a bunch of stuff, the people who love that stuff aren't going to be very happy about it, and they're certainly not going to then rush out and buy an iPad. In Japan, it was very interesting because they have a thing called motainai, which is don't be wasteful. And so they were actually kind of upset about this commercial for a slightly different reason. The creatives were upset for the same things. They're like, look at this guitar that I love that I could have played. Look at these cameras that I could have taken and taken pictures with. Look at these paints I could have painted things with. Look at all these things that I could have used to make the art that I love to make. But then also, you just crushed it and then threw it all away. At first, I was wondering if it was digital or not. Because now we've got to this point where a digital commercial where they're crushing everything would look fairly realistic, and I'm not going to look at it too closely. So was it real, or was it just generated by a computer? I don't actually know. But it seems like they actually crushed all this stuff. And it shows how callous and unthinking both the advertising agency and the company really is. Because the advertising agency would have had to bring this commercial to Apple and said, please take a look at this thing we've created for you for your new campaign for the iPad. And they would have showed it. And it slowly crushes all the things people love into a new iPad. And all these guys at Apple are like, oh yes, that is exactly what we want. And the thing is, if you were selling to those executives who were making those approvals, this would have been an okay ad, because they're like, yes, we're not creative people. We don't give a shit about guitars and cameras and paints and all these other things. All we care about is the product we're selling and people buying it and it looking good. And so if you can do all those things in this pad, well, then of course that pad's the best pad and you should buy that pad. But realistically speaking, if they take it into a different room with a bunch of creative people, and again, this advertising company had millions of dollars at their own disposal to do this with, they could have gotten some creative people, I assume, in their actual building and said, hey, look at this ad. What do you think? The problem there is, if you work for the company, if you're related to the company and you get brought into a room and they say, what do you think of my new ad that I just made? And it's crushing all the things you love. Do you want to keep your job or not? So it puts people in within the company, within the advertising agency, in a tough spot, because they can't be critical of maybe their boss's creation. And so they say it's okay. And then their boss takes it to another bunch of executives who don't care about creative stuff. And then they see it all crushed and they're like, oh, yay, we crushed a lot of shit. Crushing shit's good. Well, that left me sort of aware of companies apologizing over the last week. So I was looking at things just as they popped up and I kind of kept track of them. And the one that hit me most close to home would have been Sony. Sony is partnered with a company called Arrowhead, and they made a video game called Helldivers. If you are very excited and you know what Helldivers is, you can watch a video, I'll put a link to it, called The Fifth Helldiver, which is a song that I wrote that a very nice man produced and wrote. I wrote it and then he made the song. You should check that out if you have the opportunity. So Arrowhead put out this game, and this game was doing gangbusters. Everyone loves this game. Everyone loves the feeling of this game. And it's a live service game, which usually gets dunked on pretty hard because they're trying to take your money. But they're not trying to take your money. They're being very nice about it. I play this game, and this is the first time I have actually voluntarily given an extra $10, $20 to a live service game to buy some just random stuff that you can use in the game. And the reason I did that is because they were never pushing it on me. So it seems like the company, Arrowhead, had the right idea of how to sell things to their customer base. They understood we can push things gently. We can put it in the forefront. We can let you look at it. We can try to flash things so you can look at it. But we're never going to put it in so far in your face that people actually are turned off by it. If they had been doing that, I would have quit playing the game by now, if that's how I felt at any point. Now, Sony, though, was like, we need the data from all the people who love that game on PC to be in our numbers so we can make our numbers look bigger, because that's the only thing that matters to Bob Sony, is that his numbers look really big. So he said, okay, now this game's been out for a few months. If you're playing it on PC, you now have to link it to your PlayStation Network account. If you don't have one, it's free to make one. Isn't that great and easy? And all these people are like, well, I don't have a PlayStation Network account and I don't want to connect it. It's like, well, then you don't get to play your game anymore. What they were hoping, again, was the sunk cost fallacy. You've put so many hours into this game. You've put so much time into this game. There's FOMO because there's new things going to be coming out soon. You're going to want to link your account. You're not going to want to give up this game that you're playing. But the reality is a bunch of people were like, you know what? I'm not going to play the game anymore. Go screw yourself. And then they went on Steam, where they got the game from, and they started giving it negative reviews. And they review bombed it. They got 37,000 negative reviews, was the last number I saw. It was probably actually more than that because it was going day by day, down by down. And I was just grabbing articles out of everywhere to try to put all this information together. And so they had to give out an apology. And again, once the same thing, like if Bob Sony had called me and said, hey, Chung with Beef Chest, do you think it would be a good idea now after 2 months the game's been released that we force players to link their PlayStation accounts to the game if they want to continue playing? And I would have gone, Bob Sony, I don't think that's a good idea, man. I think maybe people have already paid for the game. They're already playing the game. Why would you try to take that away from them, Bob Sony? That's not a very nice thing to do. So Bob Sony would have gone like, oh man, Chuck and Beef Chest. That's right. We don't want to, you know, take away any of that goodwill we've earned. They backed down. They actually said, okay, we're not going to have to make you link your accounts, and we issue an apology. And the apology was, ouch, right in the review scores. Well, I guess it's warranted. Sorry, everyone, for how this transpired. I hope we will make it up and regain trust by providing a continued great game experience. I just want to make great games.
That wasn't Sony. That was the CEO of Arrowhead.
Oh, maybe I've conflated two apologies. They did all this research yesterday.
Sony said they are starting to understand PC players, and they'll try better.
I bet Sony didn't say anything, those sons of bitches.
It was all so fast, like one weekend.
Yes. Well, that's it. All these things happen over the course of a few days. Oh, this article I'm seeing now, where is it? When's it from? From May 6th, so that was 2 weeks ago. 200,000 negative reviews is how they review bombed it. That's where you know all the most legitimate apologies come from, is a tweet. Okay, so the apology from Sony. Sorry, I didn't get that mixed up. The Helldivers 2 CEO, he made some statements about how it was, he just wants to make good games. From PlayStation, so this is the tweet. Helldivers fans, we've heard your feedback on the Helldivers 2 account linking update, the May 6 update, which would have required Steam and PlayStation Network account linking for new players and current players beginning May 30th, will not be moving forward. So it's not really an apologies. They're just saying, we've heard you. That's interesting. So they're backing down, but they're not apologizing for what they did. We're still learning what is best for PC players. The best for PC players is when they're playing a game is to not mess with it so they can't play it anymore. Again, if Bob Sony had called me up and said, hey, should we take away this game from people who don't link their accounts? I'm like, well, they paid for the game. They're already playing the game. Maybe don't do that, Bob Sony. I'm talking for 30 minutes straight now. We're still learning what is best for PC players, and your feedback has been invaluable. So then they're trying to make it sound like they're actually listening to PC players, like they actually fucking care what PC players say. They just want your numbers into Bob Sony's big Excel sheet so he can say, look, the number go up. Thanks again for your continued support. So they haven't said sorry, they said thank you. Thanks again for your continued support of Helldivers 2, and we'll keep you updated on future plans. So Sony didn't actually apologize. So thank you, Mr. Warmhands, for jumping in and correcting me, because I was about to attribute the apology from the Arrowhead CEO, which is the guy who makes the game, and he didn't actually want any of this, with Sony actually apologizing, which they didn't even fucking do. So that's ridiculous. But again, what I'm interested in is the non-apology apologies that these guys are doing. And this is actually maybe the best example, because he's backing off. He's saying he didn't do the right thing, but he's not actually saying sorry for the thing he did, which would imply to me that he's going to do it again in the future. So we have two more that have come up. Now I'm worried that I haven't got these right either, but Bumble is a dating app. Now I am old enough that I never used dating apps. I'm actually thinking lucky that I missed that period in time. At first, it seemed very attractive. Like, oh, you don't have to go out and talk to people to find attractive people to just, you know, knock dirty bits with. That sounds great. And then I, you know, the reality started sinking in really quick, what these things actually were. So they made billboard ads. They didn't say what specific city, but they did a series of billboard ads. And the billboard said, you know full well a vow of celibacy is not the answer. Bumble. Thou shalt not give up on dating and become a nun. And so this was interpreted as making fun of celibate people or people who aren't successful in the dating scene and kind of give up, which are real people. And I would say actually the people most likely to join a service like Bumble, because they are actually trying to get dates. So being off-putting to someone who hasn't been successful in the dating pool isn't really a great strategy. People celibate by choice were pissed off. But I mean, I think they might always be grumpy because they need to get laid. Bumble came out. So Joey Bumble came out and he said, we've made a mistake. Instead of bringing joy and humor, we unintentionally did the opposite. Also, the billboards aren't funny. So again, Bumble is a big company. They're paying an advertising agency. And I assume they went to them and said, let's make a fun, lighthearted ad to say to people, you know, don't give up on dating, join Bumble. And so they're like, hey, let's compare people who don't date or having trouble dating or aren't dating very much to, you know, people who are involuntarily celibate or nuns and whatnot, and tell them that they have, you know, no value unless they start dating. This is actually very interesting because there's been a 45% drop in share prices over the last year for Bumble. So Joey Bumble is losing a lot of money. Young people are opting for meeting in person and via social media. So not necessarily an app organized for dating, but young people are like, you know, these dating apps, they don't work very well. We don't like them. We don't like how they do things. I'm going to find someone I find attractive on social media. I'm going to interact with them there. And if we find a connection, maybe we'll meet in person. Or I'm going to eschew all of that and I'm going to go out in real life and real people and meet people IRL. And so this is showing Bob Sony is out of touch with the people who play video games, because he doesn't realize that it's threatening to take away their video game after they've played it for like 2-3 months is a bad idea. Joey Bumble doesn't realize that people who are on his site, on his app, trying to find a girlfriend or boyfriend or something, they might be the celibate group that he's actually making fun of. We got one more, and it's Reddit. And so, you know, Reddit's where all the sensitive... all the sensitive news comes from. Reddit had the upvote downvote system. I don't know if they were the ones who invented it, but they did it. It was a main part of it. And then they started adding awards. And a lot of people were like, these awards kind of suck. This is them trying to squeeze profitability out of a website that basically it is not profitable. Reddit has not actually ever really been that profitable, despite how big and innocuous it is on the internet. Innocuous? No, it's the wrong word. I was about to say eponymous, but that's not a word. Oh, I'll just move on. Ubiquitous. Oh, you got... Mr. Warmhands knows me well enough to know what word I'm trying to say when I say two or three random words that are not the real thing. Reddit being as ubiquitous as it is on the internet. So you pay for the awards. But the interesting or annoying part, depending on your view, if you're one of the people who gets the money, you think this is great. You can't cash out if you don't use them. So they wanted to sunset this system, but they didn't want to give any money back to the people who had actually put money into this system. This has actually been a lawsuit. I remember some video games. I think it was Take-Two. This family had put money into virtual currency and they're saying like, you're stopping this game. You didn't give us a chance. Like I bought the virtual currency the day before the game was shut down. I didn't know that was going to happen. You didn't warn me. You either have to give me my money back. And they weren't even being that greedy. They were like, just let me transfer those tokens to a different video game. And that became a lawsuit because of course the company's like, well, you got the fake unreal money that doesn't exist. Why would we want to give that back to you? Because then we might lose $5. But they didn't want to set the precedent of you being able to get your money back. So a lot of people were very upset. I've put money into this system. You're changing the system. I can't get my money back. I can't use my money in the new system. This is, again, the people in management trying to sound like they're part of the community and sound. Actually, it's the way they talk has always been interesting to me because it sounds like they're talking to a bunch of friends. These are not your friends. These are people angry at you because you're a manager in a company, a giant company that's making billions of dollars, and you're treating the people who actually use the services like shit. We tried something new. It wasn't great, in brackets. You called it. So there you go. You got Fred Reddit. He needed to call me and go, hey, I have a bunch of people. I've had them invest money into this system. I'm going to close that system and not give them their money back and just ignore them. Do you think that's going to work? And I'd be like, Fred Reddit, that's not a good idea, man. I mean, these people, that's money. The money's real to them. I know it's just profits for you, but it's real money to them. And they wanted to use it on your website. Now you're saying they can't use it on your website. You got to give them something back for it. So we're relaunching awards. So they've basically taken the system they were going to close down. We're going to like re-jigger it so that you can actually use the money you've put into the system. Coins are going to be phased out. Oh, coins were going to be phased out without telling users. And then Reddit claims they did not adequately communicate. And that is their version of saying, we tried to steal your money and you caught us, so we're very sorry about that. But we're not going to say sorry because, again, that sets the precedent. Just like Sony didn't want to say sorry, Fred Reddit didn't want to say sorry either. So now you can buy Reddit Gold, and Reddit Gold costs $1.79 in America, so probably different pricing, different countries, for 100 gold. If you are in the contributor program and you receive gold, you will get money. And the thing that I actually find really weird is this is just a fucking forum. Like, this is the most fundamental aspect of the internet, of what the internet used to be when I joined, is a bunch of forums. And this is just like one gigantic forum. And they've created a system where, like, let's say I add something to the website and a bunch of people like give me gold for it. And that's great. And I get all this gold. I don't get anything because I'm not part of the contributor program because I've only had one viral post. So you actually have to be adopted by the company to be able to reap the benefits of people giving you gold that they paid for, that they're awarding to you. And then this company still was like, if we try to stop this system, we're going to try to take all your money with it. And you know what? Fuck you guys. Oh, you're angry now? Oh, we're sorry. We tried something new and it wasn't great. You called it, buddy. So here we have several large companies. We have Apple, we have Sony, we have Bumble, we have Reddit, all making massive mistakes by being completely disconnected, by using advertising companies that didn't actually like, they wanted to please the management class and not the people they were actually advertising to. You have Reddit trying to abuse its users and steal their money and then turn around and not actually apologize for it. Mr. Warmhands has just written, companies forget why they exist and how they got there, which is absolutely correct. Way back, I did an episode called The Enshittification of Everything, and that's what this comes from. And it's part of an economic system where you come out with something and it's for the users. And then you're like, well, we have to make some money to keep ourselves going, so we start doing advertisers. But once you start switch from users to advertisers, you're for the advertisers. And when you get to a tier above that, you get to investors. And now we're not even for the advertisers anymore. We're for the investors. And the investors want to abuse the advertisers who abuse the users. And each level of abuse gets more severe to the point where the company collapses and no one uses it anymore. Now we've gotten to a point, and it's interesting in sort of late stage capitalism, where companies get so large in that third stage that it takes them forever to collapse, like Meta or Facebook or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Like, I don't use Facebook. I take an Ninja News Japan link and I stick it there every week, and I basically do not ever look at it. As far as I'm concerned, that's a dead website, but it's going to take years and years and years for it to die. But like Bumble, young people are not finding the service appealing anymore because they're not connected to those young people anymore. And that is how that company is going to die. And Sony is going to abuse PC players. So it means PC players are not going to like lean towards Sony products because they know there's that possibility of abuse. I actually wish the last time Reddit got in trouble with the user base, when they were going to like close off all the APIs so you couldn't use your own app to access Reddit, I wish the users had actually stuck it out and actually collapsed the company, because a new company coming up would be better. And then we get all the way back to the very beginning, which is Apple. And Apple's just fucking gross anyways.
Enter the mind of the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMRB. Yeah. CMIB, yeah, yeah, CMIB, yeah, yeah, CMIB, yeah, yeah.